Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back, South Florida. Glad that you could join us with Mind Your Biz Today. This show is dedicated to you. All of our shows are dedicated to you growing your business. We bring in experts and thought leaders from around the country who can help you with ideas that will help you be better at what you do, whether you own a business, run a business, or are in part of a business. That is our intent. So I would like to ask our listeners to please, when you get a chance, go to mindyourbiztoday.com and give us your thoughts and your impressions, any ideas you have for future shows, or anything that you would like us to talk about, please let us know. You can also listen to all of our past shows at mindyourbiztoday.com. Again, I am your host, Janie Smith. I am the author of Creating Competitive Advantage. It's going on to its 11th reprint. It's been a bestseller for the last few years. It helps companies identify and create competitive advantages so they don't have to cave in on the price issue. I am also president of Smart Advantage. Our website is smartadvantage.com. You can get a lot of information about your competitive advantage there. Our show today is a really interesting one. We have Jay Elliott with us. Jay Elliott is the author of a brand new book. It's only in preview. You can preview order it now, but it will be out in the beginning of March. So you're getting the preview of this book. It's very exciting. The book is The Steve Jobs Way, iLeadership for a New Generation. Jay Elliott is a former Apple senior VP and confidant of Steve Jobs while he was there. He's going to provide with us a rare insight, as his book does, and a glimpse into the iconic CEO and the organization that Jobs built into one of the most successful technology companies in the world. There isn't anybody around who doesn't know who Steve Jobs is and what Jobs is and what he's done. He's had a tremendous impact on transforming the way we connect and consume content and communicate, for better or for worse, in many ways, depending on how you look at all of the benefits and stresses that the Internet has brought to most of us. So, Jay, welcome, and I'm really excited to have you with us.
Thanks, Janie. Thanks. Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
And congratulations on your book. I can hardly wait till it comes out and get a copy myself to read it. How did you come to meet Steve? Talk a little bit about your interaction with him.
Well, I've worked most of my career in Silicon Valley, so I've gone through the started my career at IBM, then went to work briefly at Intel. I was at a restaurant one night in Los Gatos, California. It's a small place here in Silicon Valley, and ran into this guy. I think the only probably connection Steve and I had at the time was we both had beards. Maybe that was why we sort of started communicating, but started discussing with somehow we got into computers, and that's really where everything started.
No kidding. So did you meet him before he became rich and famous?
No, he actually, at the time I met Steve, he was about 25 years old, and I think he was probably already worth about $200 million. The company had gone public, Apple had gone public, and this was after it had gone public, so he was already doing very well. Although Steve has never changed, he was still wearing his Levi's and white T-shirt, but he was already economically done very well.
Well, that's the techie way, isn't it? I mean, that's expected. That's the uniform.
Well, although I think in the time in the 80s, early 80s, I think it was still HP and IBM were very dominant in Silicon Valley. So I think the more of the dress was still in suits and ties.
Oh yeah, of course, and you come from IBM, so that was definitely a mandate there, wasn't it?
Right, exactly.
So what happened? So you met him in a restaurant, you got to talking, and then you got a job at Apple. Is that how that started?
Yeah, sort of a sequence of events, but basically it started with me meeting him and discussing it, and then ultimately I got hired at Apple. I wasn't really sure that was going to happen, but Steve said I didn't even know who Apple was. I didn't know much about them. I was not happy at the time with where I was at Intel at the time. Intel wasn't really my kind of company. And so it just sort of sequence of events happened, and eventually I got hired at Apple.
So what was your relationship like with Steve during the early days at Apple?
It was very close. It was sort of ironic because I had worked at IBM for about 9 years, and IBM was sort of the evil empire against Apple at the time. IBM was in the process of introducing a PC to the world. Apple had been very successful as Apple II. So I was sort of unique because I was older, and I also was from IBM. So it was sort of a unique experience. But Steve and I started off as a very, very close relationship, discussing everything in the world, thinking about what the new paradigm of organizations was really going to be in the future of corporate America. Steve always had a saying, never trust anybody over 40 years old. I was about 40 years old, so he used to always say, never trust anybody over 40 except Jay. That sort of characterized our relationship.
That's pretty neat, and that's quite a hats off to you to have that kind of respect at that point in his meteoric rise of that company. So
yeah, it was very unusual.
So, you know, you read different things about Steve. I mean, he's certainly a genius, but some of the press he gets is he's got a reputation for being abrasive as a colleague. Did you ever have problems working with him? Did you experience?
I think I may have experienced a little bit, but not very much. I understood Steve. Steve is very intense. He's a very intense guy, and I think what sort of the public sees, even when he's on stage introducing a product, he's very intense, and he's very eager to have everything very precise and right on track. And I think that tends to be sometimes misinterpreted. I think also he's I've never seen him be really, really unfair. He's very open to ideas, but sometimes when it's hard to get an idea across to him, you got to keep pushing it eventually to make it happen. But my relationship with him was very open, very honest, very straightforward, and I spent a lot of time with him.
So certainly people who are that successful tend to be very intense. It's what gets them there. They're very focused. They're very intense. So did he have a sense of humor? Did you experience that much?
Oh, yeah. Steve had a good sense of humor. Actually, Steve was a very intent on media, so he loved movies. He's a big movie buff. He loved music. All of these, I think, are features that maybe a lot of people don't realize about Steve. He really enjoys comedy. So there's a side to Steve a lot of people don't really realize.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, that's true for so many people who are in the limelight. We really don't get to see them as human beings, and they really are just like you and me when it comes right down to it. He's like you and me, but we're not like him. I mean, he certainly is a genius.
That's for sure.
So that's one thing we can say. So so what are some of the management traits that you admire about him? I mean, that's what your book is about, leadership. So what are some of the management traits that you gleaned from him?
Well, I think that one of the sort of the key elements of my book is about, you know, if you're going to lead an organization, you have to really base that leadership on a premise of what you're there for. And I think the number one thing that Steve is about is products. When you talk to Steve, when you're dealing with Steve, when Steve is part of the organization, really the essence of his leadership comes from the beginning of it, which is the product, the vision for where all this is going to go, how we're going to get there, and all this is based on the product. So some of the leadership elements that Steve has that I really admire is that he just absolutely focuses on the product. In fact, when he's up on a stage introducing a product, it's really he's the product. So if he's introducing an iPhone, he's really become an iPhone. So I think that part of his leadership style really has a connection to that everybody in the organization is connected through this thing called the product. And that really manifests itself in how you organize the company, how you find the right talent for the company, and how you make all this happen. I think one of the things I'm most respectful for with Steve was his ability to take a vision, and his vision was really outstandingly, you know, years ahead, and be able to make it happen, I mean, to execute it. And I think that comes from his very sense of organization, his sense of structure, his sense of priorities and being able to see the right way to go.
You know, we just did a show, I think it was last week or recently, with a gentleman who wrote a book on creativity. And one of the most important skills for successful CEOs is being able to be creative and innovative. And then you just said the magic word, which very few companies do well, and that's the execution. Because you can have 1,000 ideas, as most companies do, but apparently Steve Jobs was excellent at execution, or he sounds like he knew how to recruit people who could do the execution. Was that your experience?
Yeah, he's one of the, and I call it talent. You know, most people call, people have resumes and have great things. Steve has this incredible ability to recognize talent, the talent that is required to make something happen. It may not necessarily be a talent that normally would be put in that kind of position. I'll give you an example. We had a lady in Macintosh we called our head artist, because she was the one that was really looking at creating all of the design of the icons and the way the computer worked and looked on the screen. Yet her background was an artist. She had no, normally in computer world you'd find an industrial designer, somebody industrial organizer or design computers, but she was an artist. I mean, she had paintings and everything else. So that's the kind of differentiation I think Steve brings to finding the kind of talent that needs to execute the vision.
Well, that's an excellent example, and those are the kinds of things that we try to encourage companies to use. A very tired and old cliche is think outside the box. Very few companies do that. In fact, this show we did last week, we talked about how many companies get stuck in the Me Too status. I'm doing the same thing as all my competitors. And so what happens, I become a commodity. One thing Steve Jobs did not allow his company to ever be was commoditized, which is why he can charge the prices. You know, I just did a keynote speech this weekend in Disney, and Disney is another one of those products that never, ever will become commoditized. You go there, you empty your wallet, you pay $5 for a cup of coffee. I mean, it's absurd, but they've differentiated, and Steve has been an excellent at that. And of course, that's my passion, is how do you create competitive advantages so price is not the tiebreaker. Well, Jay, would you stay with us? We have to take a short break for a commercial, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk some more about Steve. I think he's a genius, and I'd love to hear more about this, and so will our listeners be able to learn more from you. So we are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. This is Mind Your Biz Today. Listeners, stay tuned.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
Searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Welcome back, South Florida, to Mind Your Biz Today. This is Janie Smith, your host. I am the president of Smart Advantage, and I am the author of Creating Competitive Advantage. We have a guest with us today, Jay Elliott. Jay is out there in Silicon Valley, and he's been working for years with Steve Jobs, not currently, but he's written a wonderful book that's out in March, The Steve Jobs Way, iLeadership for a New Generation. And he's going to provide for us, and has been so far in the first half of the show, a rare glimpse into this iconic CEO. So we're excited to have Jay. And we have some more questions for you in the second half of this show, Jay.
Sure.
So we were talking about Steve's marketing genius. Where does that come from? You can have, as we said earlier, the best ideas and the best creativity and even good execution internally, but if you don't market it, it doesn't get anywhere. So can you tell us a little bit about his marketing genius?
I think a lot of it comes from early on, which is, again, a lot of the stuff, I think it's about connected to the product. Steve is so excited about his products that he had to find a way to articulate that to the world. He'd met early on, he had noticed way back in the early 80s that a company called Intel was getting some really, what he thought was really getting some good marketing, so he actually went and physically camped on the doorstep of a fellow here in Silicon Valley named Regis McKenna, who was considered one of the marketing geniuses. Regis ultimately introduced him to a guy named Jay Shiat, which was the guy who founded Shiat Day. And then they started the whole campaigns about Apple products. But it's really his genius comes from that the product speaks for itself. That if you look at Apple's, the way they brand themselves and everything about it, it's about how can I articulate my product to you in a way that you understand it. And I think that's been the ultimate genius. And then, too, Steve has a great eye for media, so he loves movies. So he has a great eye for sort of the drama of entertainment. And I think that's all sort of combined into what his marketing genius is about.
Yeah, I remember in the early years, if you had a friend or a colleague that had an Apple and you didn't, they looked down on you. It's like, how can you not have an Apple? And it became almost a cult, the people who were using Apple in the early days, wasn't it?
It's funny. I always comment on this that even when they introduced the iPod, people had these white cords coming out of their ears into their pocket. If you didn't have that, you were really not part of. You weren't really cool.
Yeah, I know.
Part of the products.
It took me a little while to catch on and get one, so I was uncool for quite a while. And now the same thing is true with iPhones. They do have some competition, though. There are some things that, I think I've heard people say the iPhone is for the techno geeks, the people who love the toy, but the serious business person really wants a BlackBerry because it's more easily functional. I think said another way, for somebody like me, it's easier to understand because I don't have a technical bone in my body, so it's hard for me to figure out all the apps. But the people who do, absolutely, it's a religion for them. So what do you think are some of the key principles for people in leadership? Your book says iLeadership, some of the things you've learned from Steve. So what are some key principles? What can our listeners take away?
Well, I think that the important... Light leadership is my sort of philosophy of, it's been what I've learned over the years working for some great leaders and great companies. What people have to understand is it all starts from the product. And I think this is probably the number one lesson that I preach in my book, that you got to figure out what your product's going to be, how you're going to position it, what is it going to be, is it going to be fantastic, and what do you want it to be. It all starts, and then from that point on time, then you then start putting together an organization to execute your plan. I think that's the next part of it, is you got to have the ability to be able to make it happen. Whatever your plan is, you have to have both the people and the process and a system in place to make it happen. I think those are very key elements. And the third one I call team sport is that you have to, the great thing about Apple and the great thing I've learned from both Apple and actually working at IBM is that people have to be on the same page. You all have to be pulling together, going in the right direction. And the core piece of that, again, is the product. But teamwork is critical. And how do you get people to work together? How do you get people on the same page? Again, is about the product. And I think that's really the key element of what my book is about.
You know, it's very interesting because in my work, we go into companies and we ask an entire executive team, what's your number one competitive advantage? And if I have 20 people in the room, I get 20 different answers. And so if I have 20 different answers, everybody's, rowing the boat in a different direction. And so what you're making perfectly clear to me and our listeners is that Steve didn't allow that. He made sure everybody in the organization understood that the product was the number one focus. In some companies, it's not necessarily the product. It's how they deliver it. But I understand what you're saying. Everybody get on board or else.
That's critical. If you're in everything that emulates out of Steve, which goes through the organization, is that we're here for one purpose. You know, in the early days of Apple, we would give every new employee a brand, one of our products, an Apple II, that they could use. But the deal was they had to come back in 30 days and take a test in using the product. If they failed the test, they were terminated. So in other words, we made the product the critical reason why you were there. And
wow.
If an employee starts off understanding that, I mean, I would be very upset if I was the CEO of Ford. I looked out in the parking lot, and there's a bunch of Hondas and Chryslers out there. I mean, I think that's really almost the religion and the cult of Apple.
That makes perfect sense, of course. So you've been studying leadership. What other business leaders do you admire? Who else do you talk about?
Well, I think Tom Watson Jr., who was the son of the founder of IBM, took over IBM. I had great respect for him. I'd met him several times, and he's an incredible, insightful businessman who really built IBM into be an incredible business opportunity, but also he had great compassion for people. I really felt that he really had a great balance of people in the process, which I found to be very, very exciting to me. I worked at Intel. Bob Noyce and Andy Grove were phenomenal people. I consider Bob Noyce as sort of being the previous Steve Jobs of Silicon Valley, an older Steve Jobs. Andy Grove is an amazing CEO as far as, if you look at Intel, Intel is basically a technology manufacturing company, and really Andy had to pull that together, make it happen. Obviously, Fred Smith is another person I mentioned in my book. I think he's done an amazing job with FedEx and coming, starting with the company and pulling it together and making it work. I think that's a very good example of how everybody pulls together. I think FedEx is one of those kind of companies. So those, and obviously Walt Disney. I think the Disney, if I look back and what I see what leaders do, Disney was one of those people also. So those are a few of the people.
Yeah, and I just want to have a footnote about Fred Smith at FedEx, because I had a good friend who worked in the early years with Fred, Frank McGuire, who passed away last year. And the thing that he took away from and that he really helped Fred with in the organization, he was really about recognizing and acknowledging the contribution of the people who work there. He was a 100% believer in giving recognition, and the pat on the back meant everything to employees. And I think that that's how you know, you mentioned that with Tom Watson, the compassion for the people you have goes a long way, as well as all of the technical and marketing genius, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, one time when Steve and I went around the Macintosh factory when it first came out and handed all the workers a $100 bill as a recognition of thanks for getting the product out. And that little, you know, you talk about recognition, but just walking around and saying hello or acknowledging people's contribution simply is probably the most recognition you can do. I mean, it's also the worst thing can happen if you criticize somebody the wrong way, but I think just a informal recognition is as important, and Fred Smith is very well known for that.
Yeah, I have consulted with scores and scores of CEOs, and I always remind them that there's a gigantic ROI for you to give a simple compliment. It costs you nothing, but to recognize and compliment your people, they will remember it forever, particularly with CEOs that high up when they do that. So, you know, I'm with you on that one. So tell me, we're getting pretty close to the end of the show, but tell me, how has your own career been influenced by your time with Steve?
Well, significantly. I think that when I went from IBM and Intel to work for Steve, those are all corporations. And then since I left Apple, I've been basically on my own since, doing my own thing. What I learned from Steve was, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, again, it's back to the product. What are you going to do? How's your product going to work? How are you going to make it great? And since that time, I have really been focused on, and the people who know me and work for me know that I am the product czar, and I do not accept, you know, bad quality of products. I don't accept missing deadlines unless there's a good excuse for it. And I'm really focused my companies on making the product happen. And also, I think the other thing about Steve is an incredible student of design. I mean, how do things look? How do things feel? Even the tactile way if something happens in your hands, I think, is really important. And I think these are the things that I really learned from Steve. But it's really this intensity of the product, which has really been my focus since leaving Apple.
So, you know, sadly, Steve Jobs has been battling cancer for quite some time. And if he has to step down, if Apple has to continue without Steve Jobs at the helm, will it be successful?
Well, I believe so. I believe that he has put together, if you look again at the kind of organization which I call a product-centric organization, the whole organization is focused on one thing, the product. And Steve embeds that, but also to the people working for him. So he's put together, nobody can replace him, obviously. He's not replaceable. He's one of a kind. But what he's done is he's put together all the elements of who he is and the product in his organization. We'll take like Jonathan Ivey. He's the head of design for Apple. He's been designing products with Steve for a long time. He knows exactly what design means. He's the guy that designed all the new Macs and all the new phones and everything. So they'll be fine. They'll miss, you know, Steve's vision extends 5 to 10 years, and that's the part they will miss, I believe. I don't think they'll be able to replace him, but I believe they have in place the right organization, the right people, and the right plan that's going to carry him on very successfully.
So he has created a culture. He's been very smart about creating a culture that will carry forward. It's kind of like Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. You know, create the culture, get the right people in the seats, and, of course, It can carry on, but I agree with you. He is irreplaceable. So if we had to sum up one sentence, what's some takeaway for our listeners? We've got to wrap up now. In a word, what are two or three things?
Well, the first of back to my summer is to get know the product, be the product. And one thing I said earlier, when I interview CEOs, I say, sell me your product. If you can't sell me your product, lots of luck in your company. And that's a big issue to take away from this.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that, company, it means your service. Keep your eye on your service, and don't digress from that as well. So
I mean product, I don't mean a physical product, even a consulting or service. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, Jay,
that really is a critical element of what you do.
Okay, Jay, we have to wrap up real quick. How can people get in touch with you, or where can they buy your book?
First of all, my book is for sale now on places like Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It'll be in the bookstores. It'll be in most bookstores across the United States. Unfortunately, I'm sure where Borders will be at the time, but they'll be in Borders. Also, they can go online. I can be reached at, I have a website called J-J-Y at iLeadershipInc.com. That's a website that people can reach me at.
All right. Well, Jay, thanks so much for being with us today. That's Jay Elliott talking about the Steve Jobs way. And I am Janie Smith, your host today. Please visit our website, Mind Your Biz Today. Listen to past shows and this show and give us your comments on any future shows you would like to have. Our website is smartadvantage.com, where you can learn whether or not your company has competitive advantages and how to create competitive advantages from my book, Creating Competitive Advantage. Have a great weekend, South Florida. And, Jay, thanks so much for being with us today. It was a wonderful conversation.
Thank you very much, Janie. It was great. Thank you.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.